This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here for the third time with Asmir Begovic. Hello, Asmir.
Hello, Matt. Nice to be back with you again.
It's good to have you back because this one has been a long time coming. We've been waiting, haven't we?
We've tried a couple of times, haven't we? So it's nice to be back with you. It's good to see you doing the rounds around the UK, getting out a little bit. So it's nice for you to come up again to see me and looking forward to this episode.
Yes, Rich has let me off the leash.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, he's finally given me free rein.
It's very nice of the boss, isn't it? Yeah, that's good. We'll take it.
He'll love that to be called the boss. By the way,
have I started something?
I think you might have done. Yeah.
Oh no, I'll take it back.
A good weekend of football. So I totted up this weekend that I watched from Friday to Monday. Bearing in mind that from Friday and Monday there was only one game each. 12 games over this weekend.
What a job you have, huh?
It's just unbelievable.
I was thinking back to... Could be worse gigs in the world.
There could be worse gigs. Yeah. And I was thinking back to Euros and World Cups and major international tournaments where, you know, you get the last group game and all the games are on at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, the maximum I could have possibly watched then would have been, what, 8 games?
Maybe.
Around that. But yeah, 12 games. It's been bumper.
It's a great time of year.
Yeah.
It's a great time of year. So many games. Obviously, so many things on the line, playoffs, of course, the season ending in the Premier League and other leagues, you know, title fights, qualification for Champions League, of course, the dreaded relegation fight. So always something going on.
And before we get on with the show, how are you? How's life?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Obviously looking forward to the end of the season, hopefully getting over the line. We've got a bit of work to do still in the last couple of games. But other than that, yeah, fit and healthy, doing my work, which has been good, and looking forward to see what the summer has in store.
Is this the would this be the first time that you've been heavily embroiled in a relegation scrap?
Besides last year.
Of course, yeah.
Besides last year, yeah. I mean, I had it once, obviously, when I was younger, when I was at Portsmouth, and when I was first starting on the Premier League, and that was different, and we were in different circumstances. You know, the club was in disarray, and, you know, so many things against us, but... Yeah, I think the last 2 years have been two fully blown out relegation battles and not exactly what I expected coming to Everton. But hey, that's football.
Did it bring out something different in you? Was it a different experience goalkeeping-wise?
Well, no, it hasn't really. I mean, I think, of course, I guess I've been around it a little bit with Bournemouth and Stoke before, now that I think back at times, but never really that deep into it. And, you know, I think what it does show that experience is vital. No matter if you're fighting for a title, which I've been in that situation, or whether you're fighting to stay in a league, you know, your preparation and work really shouldn't change. You know, you should still be at 100%, keep that consistency. And I think that experience helps the fact that you won't go about your business in any different way.
Excellent. Okay, well, there's plenty to get on with as per. I think we're going to label this Asmir's analysis. How does that sound for you?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah?
I can do that for you. Yeah, no problem. Let's do it.
Right, starting in the Premier League, as always, and at the Emirates, where it was Arsenal 0, Brighton 3. Now, I sat with Simon Smith yesterday, the former Newcastle goalkeeper coach, and we talked about Jason Steele because he knew Jason from his very early days. And I said to him what I'll say to you now, in that I don't think I've seen a performance as close to flawless as that with a goalkeeper with the ball at his feet as I saw from Jason Steele at the weekend. I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was. I think it was overall a really good performance. I thought, you know, not just from the distribution side of things, obviously going to the Emirates, getting a clean sheet. I thought he was really tidy in all his goalkeeping. And I think what Jason Steele really excels at, and probably why he's getting this run in the team with Brighton, is the fact that he's so strong with his feet. His distribution's on point. He doesn't panic. He has the short distribution, left foot, right foot, and of course he can go longer as well when he needs to. And I think, again, from a goalkeeper's point of view, personally speaking, you know, a lot of goalkeepers can execute, you know, those passes, distribution. But what's key with Brighton is, and what makes him so great to watch, obviously we've only played him a few days ago and had a really good day, but, you know, it's total football. So everybody's involved. Everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody knows what's expected of them. So again, for goalkeepers, it's important to have options. You know, there's nothing worse when you get the ball back to you and then everybody hides. You know, and what I love about the Brighton players is they want the ball, they show for the ball, they do take risks. That's what the manager wants. It's total football. Keep possession at all costs, right? So all that kind of stuff, play through the middle, play through lines. And, you know, obviously Jason Steele is the preferred option, you know, over the other goalkeepers, probably because of the fact that he's so strong with his feet.
I was watching back his clips yesterday, and it does feel more so that he holds onto the ball for longer than, I don't know, even say an Edison. Edison, of course, is extremely comfortable with the ball at his feet, but it's almost like he gets it, he distributes it, whereas Steele will hold and wait until that final second to release that pass.
It really is. I mean, if you look at, you mentioned Edison and Man City, Liverpool and Alisson, teams that, again, they're usually very much in control position. They're not afraid to go direct a little bit earlier, you know, and catch him behind and stretch the pitch and use that, whereas Brighton are very particular about those short passes. You know, he's using the two number sixes, usually center half. So again, why I say this, it's important to have those options. He trusts his players to be there. You know, he waits for the attacker to come to draw him out of his space, and then they'll play around him with short passes. And the fact that they have all those supporting players makes a big difference.
He was on the Monday Night Club on BBC Radio 5 Live last night, of which you sometimes appear, of course, as well.
Yeah, very nice.
And he was speaking, the stories have come out today, he was talking about the fact that he really grew out of love with football and really struggled, and his problems have been well documented from his time at Sunderland. And this is just goalkeeping, isn't it? Because this is a goalkeeper who, you know, with a certain manager, with a certain goalkeeper coach, with a certain environment to play in, could be a League One goalkeeper right now. But now Roberto De Zerbi has come in, shown him faith. Actually still said that when De Zerbi awarded him his start, he said, "This isn't a present. I'm not giving you a present here. You've earned this." So he has the eyes and the ears of that manager, and now he's performing and impressing in the Premier League.
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, it goes, you know, it's important to say that Jason Steele is a top guy. Obviously, he's been around the game and is a top professional, so he deserves this opportunity, a second lease of life, I guess, in a way we can call it. And as I say to many young goalkeepers, we might have talked about this in the podcast before, it's so important to find the right fit for you. You know, you can see, you know, when Jason was at Sunderland, being in a mess, being in a circus of a situation, that doesn't only affect goalkeepers, it will affect all players. You know, it makes players maybe look worse than they are because they're affected by the circumstances and what's going on around them. So he obviously made a decision to maybe take a little bit of a step back in his role and maybe not play, but go to Brighton where he was in a fantastic environment. And I think that's a really big lesson for many goalkeepers and players. Sometimes you have to pick the environment where you're going to really excel, where people value you for your skills and your, of course, your human skills as well. So I think he made a great decision to go to Brighton, and I think it's worked out well for him. I think he's been there now a few years, and you know, he's getting the rewards now, and as you rightly said, he's earned it. His professionalism and his quality has obviously come through.
There was no Robert Sanchez on the bench at the Emirates. There's going to be a lot of bench chat in this podcast today, Asmir, because I read De Zerbi's quotes after the game, and he said on Sanchez not being on the bench, "We spoke 2 days ago and found an agreement that today he was not going to come here. He knew he was not going to play, so we found an agreement on that." I feel like that's a bit ambiguous.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. We don't know. I mean, listen, it's no point speculating. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes at Brighton. All I do know is I'm a huge Robert Sanchez fan. I mean, he's an absolute top-notch goalkeeper, a pure athlete as well, someone who's going to have a massive future in the game for sure. I think he sometimes, I know him a little bit just from the professional circles and a little bit misunderstood at times. So I think he's going to have a great future. Obviously, at this moment in time, from all these different reasons, he's not getting the chance that he wants. He obviously doesn't get to play. There's only one of us can play. It's the reality of a goalkeeper, right? So I think from that point of view, the situation is what it is. Jason Steele's done really well. Brighton obviously flying. So what will happen in the future? Nobody knows. But you know, we know he's a top goalkeeper. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of his, and I'm sure things will work out for him going forward.
When you say misunderstood, do you mean from a playing perspective or a personal perspective?
Well, I think there's certainly sometimes a bit of a narrative out there that he looks a bit casual and easygoing and all that kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, that's people's demeanor, right? People, everyone has different ways of operating and the way they take care of themselves or handle themselves on a daily basis, and that's the way Robert is. But, and like I said, he's a great guy and top goalie and someone I'm sure is going to play many, many games in the future.
Just a word on Aaron Ramsdale for the third goal. Questioned for that one.
Yeah, it's just it's a tricky one, right? I think it's a long distance shot, which you're expecting to come with full pace, and then it comes a bit slower. Maybe you're off balance. He kind of almost dives past it in a way, and then it's behind him. I don't think it's a parry in a bad area, but of course, because of Brighton's attacking players and fullbacks being in that position, it's sods low, right? The fact that he puts it in and sort of hits it into the ground, and it's just obviously a bit of an ugly, messy goal. And, you know, of course, I think he would have, looking back at it, maybe you'd like to get it a bit further out. I don't think it's never a bad decision to parry. Listen, if that's what you see, the flight of the ball, only he can judge that. Like I said, it's only the goalkeeper who's in that position who can see what he sees. He made a decision to parry, never a problem. But of course, I think he would probably like to get a little bit more pace on it and make sure it goes a little bit wider next time.
Okay, we're going to move over to Old Trafford next, where after, got this written down, 401 professional appearances in the Football League, 117 clean sheets and 1,114 saves. At the age of 29, Dan Bentley bagged a Premier League debut for Wolves. And I thought he did very well.
I thought he did very well as well. I think, again, you know, when you look at Daniel's story, well-deserved. Played his trade in the lower league so far. Came all the way from Southend, I believe he started, mm-hmm. and worked his way up. And, you know, obviously got the opportunity to get to a Premier League club in January. So fantastic for him. Obviously, he's shown in the training sessions over the last few months that he deserves his chance. And it's very romantic. It's great for a goalkeeper. It's a beautiful story when you get that chance. And it's at Old Trafford against Manchester United. So it doesn't get much better than that.
The thing that struck me the most about his performance was that he seemed like he really enjoyed it. Like he was really ready. Like he prepared physically and mentally for that. There were three big saves. One from Jadon Sancho, one from Casemiro, and the final one right at the death from Antony. It was a great save.
Yeah, I thought he made his saves, made all his decisions. I think in his handling looked very, very secure. And I thought, you know, like you said earlier, he's played 400 games. So he's not obviously just started playing the other day. He's obviously played for many, many years. So I think that bit of experience helps him. I think generally he's a very calm guy and the way he plays the game. So it didn't surprise me one bit. I think the scoreline was a bit unfair on him. You know, would have loved for them to get a result, but you know, that's something that happens in football, but I think his performance was fantastic.
There is a quiz question in this, which, I mean, if you get this, then fair play, because there was no chance of me ever getting this one. But he made 8 saves in that game, Dan Bentley, and that is the most by a goalkeeper on their Premier League debut since August 2018. Who was the goalkeeper?
Oh, God, 2018.
It's tough, isn't it? So a clue is that this team used a number of goalkeepers that season, or indeed, I think even in the first couple of months, had already used, I want to say, 3 goalkeepers.
I want to say maybe it's a Fulham goalie by any chance.
Correct.
Yeah. Who was playing that time? Come on. No, it wouldn't be Gazzaniga. He came a little bit later. Bettinelli?
Not Bettinelli. So he was one of the 3. Oh, come on.
Areola?
No.
Who was the other one?
So you had, I think you had Bettinelli. I don't think you had Areola at that time.
He didn't come at that time. No, he came.
You had next time. Sergio Rico who came in. It wasn't him. It was the other one that they used. Recently retired, I think. Anyway, okay. Shall I reveal?
Go on.
Fabbri.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
Tough, course. Though. That's a tough one.
At least we got the team right.
Yeah. Impressive.
Half
50% of the way there.
Half a point.
Also, David De Gea. He has bagged a Golden Glove, which, you know, if you look at his season...
He's not so bad after all, right?
There you go, right? So that's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, I think he's had a good season. You know, I think it's a good season. Of course, you know, I think people like to magnify the slightly negative things, a couple errors here and there. And again, people say he's made certain errors, but he plays a lot of games. He plays a lot of games. I think it's maybe the way it is when you look at his mistakes, so few and far between. But he plays a lot of games. Man United are in many competitions. He's obviously been relied upon to carry them. I think his consistency, I think his reliability. You know, I always say that the best ability is availability. And the fact that he's been available for Man United for so many years on a regular basis, he's out there all the time. You come rain or shine, positive or negative, whatever's going around that club. So he's someone I think they can really trust and has, again, performed very consistently this season.
I like that one. Best ability is availability. I've heard that before.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Very good.
There you go. People pay a lot of money for that.
What would you do if you were Erik ten Hag this summer in terms of Manchester United's goalkeeping department?
Well, I think, listen, there's no reason to change David De Gea. I mean, with all due respect to everyone, I don't think he's done himself any harm with his performances. Again, brought a trophy to Man United, maybe a second in the other cup final, which would be a very successful season if they can qualify in the Champions League. So obviously still a lot to play for in the last couple weeks of the season or so. So I think from that point of view, I think you try and keep him, come to an agreement if they can, and then you figure out from there, obviously, whether you want to. I don't know what Dean Henderson's fitness is, his situation with Nottingham Forest. So that's one. Obviously, I think Tom Heaton is one, again, you have to keep in one way or another. He's a great number two or three. I think someone who really helps the culture of a team, the dressing room, and of course can play whenever he's called upon. So I think they've got some really big decisions to make, of course. I'm sure Dean, knowing him, he wants to play. So it's very difficult to keep two number ones in a football club. It's definitely not a long-term solution. So they're going to have to make some big decisions, that's for sure.
Okay, moving on.
What would you do?
What would I do? It's so difficult with I like it. Rich doesn't normally put it back on me. I'm not used to this.
Let's give you your time.
I feel like maybe his time has come at Manchester United now, I think. But then you look at where he could go and everything is pretty much closed, right? Where could David De Gea go if he left Manchester United now? So it's whether Manchester United were to cash in, if they can even cash in on David De Gea, because I can't imagine that he would actually warrant a huge transfer fee now, not the kind of transfer fee that they would want in order to sell him and justify bringing in someone else in. There's been loads of speculation, of course, Gregor Kobel being one of the key names. Jordan Pickford even mentioned recently, I think, with Manchester United. But we are at a stage where every goalkeeper under the sun is going
silly
to be
season.
Linked. Yeah, silly season. Yeah. So where I think that his time is done with Manchester United, I find it difficult to see where he could go and who they would bring in as a result.
Yeah, I think, again, as you rightly say, man, ultimately the bottom line in these situations is that they're very complicated decisions. You know, it's not just a simple thing. Is David De Gea number one for Man United? Of course, he has to be happy. The contract has to be right. As you rightly say, what options does he have? Can be a free agent, of course. What options do Man United have? What other parts of the team do they have to strengthen? You know, do they want to spend X amount for a goalkeeper when they also have maybe other priorities? So, like I said, putting all these pieces together of a puzzle is the challenge of obviously a front office and a team. And, you know, like I said, Man United have some big decisions to make.
What I do think as well is that one of them has to go. So either De Gea goes or Dean Henderson goes, because that cannot be a harmonious goalkeeping department, especially with the way that Dino started the season and the comments that he made when he went on loan to Nottingham Forest.
Like we've always said, listen, you know, again, we'll touch on this now, we might as well. I think one of the most underestimated things is the dynamic of a goalkeeping group. That dynamic is very, very important because you work in a small group every day. I've said this to many people. Like I said, a lot of people don't understand this, but it's very, very important to understand that people are in their spot. You know, they know their position. It doesn't mean it's set in stone, of course, but you have to be clear what the intentions are going in. Then, of course, you know, you have to compete. Things can happen. Everyone has to be ready. We talked about Jason Steele getting his opportunity now. So things can happen as you go on. But when you're going into a season, I think you have to make the decisions very clear. You have to try and create some harmony. You have to keep that dynamic very, very positive. I think if you do, then you can have some success.
Let's move on to your club, Everton. You mentioned the bumper victory at Brighton at the start of the week, followed up by, I guess, a result that you might expect against Manchester City, a very difficult team to come up against. I've got a few points to bring up on this one.
Yep.
The first of which, we'll go back to the bench chat. Two goalkeepers on the bench, yourself and Andrew Lonergan. I know that that's not completely out of the ordinary in the modern game, but you don't see it all the time.
Yeah, I think for us, I mean, you know, it was great for Lonis to get on the bench. I think for us it was a numbers game. A couple of senior players out injured, so obviously that opens up a little spot, which Andy gladly took, you know. So, that's what was happening there. And I think, you know, he works really hard every day, so deserves any kind of opportunity.
Jordan Pickford, moving on to the next point. Now, I've noticed this only in recent weeks, to be fair. I'm sure it's been the case his whole career. But when he's in the tunnel, we often see with goalkeepers in the tunnel, there's a handshake, there's a high five, there's a cuddle. You know, goalkeepers union very much in force in the tunnel. I feel like Jordan doesn't buy into that. He's very much in his zone. He's very much his own man. And at the weekend, that was evident. He walked down the tunnel, kind of gave Edison a slight glance. Edison didn't really acknowledge him. There was nothing there between the two.
Interesting. I've not actually seen that. Mm. Obviously, I've not. I've seen Jordan play live many times now, but not obviously seen his stuff in the tunnel. Each their own, very much. You know, some guys do the cuddles, as you very say, some shake hands, some don't. You know, like I said, we have a game to play, so that's the most important thing.
Okay. The second and third goals. So for the second one, he was called out for his technique in the way that he dived because he landed, I guess, stomach down, which you don't always see. But I personally feel like that was as a result of him desperately trying to re-maneuver his body in order to reach Haaland's header. And the third goal, the free kick, the excellent free kick executed by Ilkay Gundogan, was criticised by Mr. Roy Keane, who claims that Pickford isn't a top goalkeeper and, I quote, looks so small in the goal.
Roy Keane is one of our favourites, isn't he? One of our favourites. I mean, I actually work with Roy Keane at Ipswich.
Did you?
I did, yeah. He brought me in on loan. Actually, really good experience. That catapulted me to the Premier League, so I do owe Roy a little bit of gratitude. But yeah, he's tough on goalies. You know, you have to. You know, it's your classic. Can we call him a goalkeeper hater? Is that?
I think he's up there.
Is that
yes,
sort of a term that's used. Yeah, so bless him. You know, obviously. Yeah, it's really difficult to comment. I mean, it's comments without substance. Of course, the worst thing about it goes out to millions of people and. You know, people start believing a certain narrative and things that they say. But really, it's with no inside knowledge, it's without understanding of the position. I think, you know, when you hear comments like those, to be fair, I didn't hear him live. I was busy watching the NBA playoffs, but I heard it the next day. And, yeah, it just shows a little bit of lack of respect for the position, really, and what it takes to perform at that level. Those sort of comments, that's the thing. You don't have to know everything about the position. But don't demean it. And I think that's something that someone has to go on Sky one day and put people to right. I wonder. Might be a man in the, I wonder who that man could be.
Did you watch Casper on Monday Night Football, by the way?
Again, we were obviously playing.
Oh, of course you were. Right? Oh, yeah. You were playing. Yes, of
course. Again, I didn't. I wish, right? I loved Casper was on there. I wish I could have seen more. I saw clips, right?
Yeah.
I thought he was really good. And again, I think a lot of those discussion points speak for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. The technique, by the way, if you could help clear that up on that second goal, the fact that he did land on his stomach, what was happening?
Yeah, there? I mean, it's actually techniques used more. I mean, he landed, that's the way he landed. I think when his speed was, I think, super impressive to get from his near post to try and cover the goal. But yeah, free header from 6 yards out, you know, you're not a favorite to make that save. So on another day, maybe he gets a bit more on the ball and makes him miraculous worldly save and like, oh, Jordan Pickford's the best goalkeeper in the world. So those are the fine margins that we deal with. Nothing else to say. He landed the way he landed. I mean, you know, I sometimes dive forward with my stomach. It's the way you can cover sometimes more ground, actually. So it's just a scientific fact. And then I think the third goal, yeah, I mean, Gundogan was magical in the whole day.
Incredible free kick.
The whole day. I don't know if the free kick or the first goal was better.
Yeah.
Sometimes listen, hats off. And that's all you can say.
And the pen that wasn't given, in your opinion, pen or no pen? I guess I kind of know what the answer might be, but what did you make of it?
What a soft.
Yeah.
Coming together, coming college, stuff like that happens. It is a physical game, football after all, so no pen.
Okay, I think that is the answer that I expected. Chelsea 2, Nottingham Forest 2, and the return of Edouard Mendy. So he hadn't started a game since mid-November for Chelsea. He's in for Kepa. I think it was only a matter of time before this happened. We spoke about it when Frank Lampard came in and the fact that he was obviously a huge admirer of Mendy and perhaps not so much of Kepa. But there's a lot to be said about this because this is a goalkeeper who has been riddled with bad luck, really, for the season. He's been troubled with injury. He has come in. I think when you look at his performance during the 90 minutes, he was actually very good. His distribution was on point. He was commanding. He didn't really make a mistake in the game. bar a mistake, if you could call it a mistake, for the first goal from Taiwo Awoniyi. Naturally, as a goalkeeper, that's what everyone is talking about.
Yeah, like we said, it's the fine margins, right? As a goalkeeper, that's what people pick on. I think, touch on a couple of things. Yeah, I was surprised maybe it's taken this long. I would just, you know, go, you know, certain managers favor certain goalkeepers. I thought with the history with Frank and Mendy that he would have maybe played sooner. But hey, that those things happened. Those decisions were made. I don't know how fit he was. But that's the most difficult thing for a goalkeeper when you haven't played in a while. It really is. It's a decision-making. It's impossible to recreate all the things that happen on a match day and in a game and training. It's just really, it really is. So when Mendy, when was the last game he played? Probably
so mid-November.
Six, seven months ago. Yeah. Again, it's just so tough, right? So tough. And those are the little margins, maybe slight judgment error that obviously will cause you pain. And of course, Sod's Law, that's what happens on a goal. You know, maybe on another day he slightly mistimes that or makes a different decision and the ball goes wide and we're not talking about it, you know. So that's the fine margins. That's goalkeeping. Like I said, overall, I thought he played really well. Made some really good decisions, did what he needed to do, play the game in a very positive way. But yeah, on a different day, maybe makes a different decision on the goal.
And when we talk about steel and the life of a goalkeeper, this is another example, right? This is a goalkeeper at the back end of, what, two seasons ago, winning the Champions League. He then tears it up at AFCON. You've got Sadio Mane saying that he should win the Ballon d'Or. He is right up there. And yet, a couple of injuries, a couple of knocks later, Kepa coming into form, yep. And this is where he is.
That's football for you, right? And of course, especially a club like Chelsea, where you usually have two top-class goalkeepers, things can change very quickly. You know, that's why you put your foot in the pedal when you can, and you go while you can, and don't let up, you know. He's had a bit of bad luck. Like you said, unfortunately, for different reasons, just didn't click for him in the last few months. But yeah, hopefully maybe he'll get a run towards the end of the season, and then they can obviously take stock in the summer.
I think he will, and I think this is also where the power of recency comes in to goalkeeping, doesn't it? You must have had this in your career as well.
Of course you do. You always do. Like I said earlier, it's like those fine margins, you know. You make one good save or one mistake, like, it's very difficult. The people in the game will look at it a little bit different, of course. They know the game. They understand. They really analyze everything. It's just, like I said, from the narrative outside and social media these days, like, you're either a hero or you're a zero. There's no in-between. There's no, like, middle point where you think, yeah, he's not bad, actually, or he's good, you know. And that's just the way it is right now. And, you know, that's something you have to get used to and just deal with.
Over to Brentford 2, West Ham 0. And Lucas Fabianski, quite the day for him. So I'd say he should have saved the opener from Brian Mbeumo. He did save a similar effort moments later from Jan Visser. He then celebrated quite forcefully from that mad goalmouth scramble. And then in the second half, another good save, this time from an Mbeumo header.
Yeah, again, probably agree with that. You know, like I said, when you're at the level of Lucas Fabianski, like that first goal, he kind of set, and as he set, the ball was there and just you know, sneaks in underneath you. So, you know, he makes a similar save just after, probably a more difficult save, right? That's, again, like those fine margins that cause, you know, those goals to go in or not. But overall, I thought Fabianski had a great season. Been a reliable, consistent presence in that West Ham goal. And then overall, the rest of the game, you know, I think from probably, as David Moyes says, a bit of one of their poorer showings of the season, I thought he was one of the brighter lights.
To finish on the Premier League, Nick Pope has now saved more penalties than he's conceded this season. So he's faced five, I believe, saved three, conceded two. Three of them have been taken by Ivan Toney, who we know is a penalty specialist. So that's a very impressive stat from Pope. And at this juncture, Asmir, I thought I would chuck in another quiz for you. Not a quiz as such, but I'm always interested to know what goalkeepers remember.
What I don't like about this, they're pop quizzes. You know, they didn't prepare me for this.
What goalkeepers take from their career, what they remember from their career. So from what I've gleaned, you've made five penalty saves throughout your career. Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Do you remember who those saves were made from?
All of them? No. No, I don't think so. One was actually Frank Lampard, which I brought up to him, by the way, when he was manager of Everton. So that was...
Yeah,
he did score in a rebound, but again...
He did. I was going to ask you whether any of these went in.
Nobody counts that in fantasy Premier League, you know?
No.
You get the points anyway, so... Malbronk?
Yes.
Sunderland? Oh, God. Adam Armstrong?
Yes. Two more.
No, go on, you're going to have to...
So, Christian Benteke?
Oh, yes. Say from? Yeah, Palace, yeah.
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 And wouldn't expect you to get this one, because I've never heard of this fella. Frederik van der Beest. So apparently this was during a loan spell with La Louvière.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah?
That's a good one.
Yeah? That was your first ever penalty save.
Oh, God, yeah. God, that was donkeys years ago. Yeah, I'll take it. Absolutely. And, of course, a couple of penalty shootouts. Saves, well, those are different. So there you go. And not bad. Could be better, but not bad.
Okay, we're going to move on to the playoffs, which always throw up drama. And it was no different this weekend. So the EFL and the National League, wow, what a game between Chesterfield and Notts County. A lot of focus, I noticed, from the commentators and pundits alike on goalkeepers. So there was very much a theme of goalkeepers being heroes and villains. And they seemed to play on that throughout a number of the games and actually focused their attentions on goalkeepers before. And one of those was Ben Wilson. It was a 0-0 draw between Coventry and Middlesbrough, and he made two very good saves in this one.
Yeah, well, obviously, a very good season for Ben Wilson. He was the goalkeeper of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
In the championship, yes.
So that speaks volumes. Obviously, helping Coventry get into the playoffs, which is a great achievement alone. So I thought he was really good, made his decisions really, you know, you can see he's playing well because he's making the right decisions. So he has a really big spread to get enough of that ball and to get it over the bar. And then, of course, the second one is one where he sort of stays back and waits for the strike and then spreads himself and makes himself big to make the save. So you can see when a goalkeeper's making those decisions, timing spot on, is obviously very comfortable with his game and everything's in full flow.
I thought the first one from Chuba Akpom, I don't know whether you agree with me on this, but it felt like, I don't know whether he slipped, but it felt like he misjudged it and went quite early. He did this. He executed the spread quite early. But that seemed to work in his favour.
Yeah, so I said we'll give him the credit for that. What happened? Maybe he said I don't know. But again, I thought, you know, he made himself as big as possible in a situation where probably again he wasn't favoured to make that save. And you know, some of course you have a bit of luck, right? The ball hits you and it's great. If he doesn't hit you, you're thinking, okay, maybe he should have done this, should have done that. So you know, that's the life of a goalkeeper. So that one went in his favour and everything. Obviously, when you look back at it, he did everything right.
Peterborough 4, Sheffield Wednesday 0. A bonkers result, this one, which I actually think kind of set the tone for some of the other playoff games. I think especially the Bolton-Barnsley game, where they were almost a bit too cautious as a result of that game. I think they felt like they didn't want to repeat of the result that Sheffield Wednesday suffered, which was just bonkers. But there was a Will Norris love-in on this one. A good save from Michael Smith early on, then one or two from Josh Windass. I thought a cheeky Cruyff turn in there too.
Yeah, really good performance by Will Norris. Again, I think what was key that those saves and, the first saves were obviously made at a really good time of the game, you know, when the game was still in balance, I guess. So obviously kept Peterborough in it and, you know, gave him the platform to get those goals and really push on from there. So the timing of those saves was just as important really as anything else. And really good game. And with the Cruyff turn, you see a bit of confidence, of course, that a couple saves bring and just overall good season. So fantastic result for Peterborough and obviously a good performance as well.
When he made that Cruyff turn, and you hear this a lot when a goalkeeper does stuff like this, you heard it again to reference Jason Steele, that every time he makes a pass, the pundits and the commentators will go, "Oof, oh, crikey, wow, hearts in your mouth there." Well, it's not, because he knows what he's doing. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, he does. I mean, listen, of course, there's no getting away from him, Matt. We can't argue that it's a risky thing to do. I mean, whether you know what you're doing or not, you know, a slight little mishap, I mean, there's absolutely 0% room for error, you know, and that's, I think, what always, you know, it gives, puts people on edge a little bit, and that situation is no different with the commentator. So yeah, it is a very tricky one, but that's what he felt at the moment, and it worked out really well.
I felt for Cam Dawson, let slip from Jack Taylor for the opener, made a very good save prior to the fourth goal going in. Unfortunately, the ball was recycled, and then Johnson Clark-Harris goes and nods it in for the fourth, but... Yeah, your take on the first one, the opener.
Yeah, man. I mean, as much as we have to be fair, I guess, and that's the thing. You know, I said about timing of saves and things you need to do, and first leg playoff 0-0, when that sort of mistake happens, just puts the team in the back foot. You know, it's the worst possible time. Like I say, if you make that mistake, you never want to do it. Of course, we're perfectionists. We want to play without making any errors, which of course I know is physically possible. But it's one thing doing it when you're up 4-0 or when it's 0 in the first leg of a playoff. So just the timing, this makes a bit of a double whammy. Of course, mistakes happen, and that you just saw immediately. And it, not that it should happen, it just happens, put the whole team on the back foot immediately, and obviously a bit of a snowball effect from there.
Bolton and Barnsley won apiece in this one. The second leg should be very exciting. But James Trafford doing, I think, James Trafford things, really. A couple of lovely stops in this one.
Yeah, again, I mean, James had a very good season. Obviously, stock has risen quite high and very, very fast and rapidly. So, yeah, good. Again, similar to Ben Wilson, really. You see when a goalkeeper's in really in control of his game, makes the right decisions, timing spot on, decision of a spread, block, whatever you need to do. Spot on and makes those really good saves, get close to the ball, and you know, you can feel again he's super comfortable with his game right now, and obviously producing the goods for Bolton.
Most clean sheets in all competitions, which we won't take away from Lawrence Vigouroux. He has won the clean sheet club, but Traff, in terms of all comps, has the most clean sheets. So impressive from
he's got the him. Is he not England under 21s now? He's not under 20 World Cup to come now.
He won't be in the under 20 World Cup. James Beadle, however, will be. Got the call up.
Very nice.
The boy Beadle. Salford 1, Stockport 0. Really good save from Alex Cairns in this one in the first half, which proved to be vital because Salford went up the other end moments later and scored the only goal of the game through Matt Smith. And it remained 1-0 because Ben Hinchcliffe made a good save down to his left in the second half.
Yeah, both goalkeepers thought played really well. Alex Cairns makes a really good save. Deserves a bit of, like I said, deserves a bit of luck on the rebound, right? You know, the guy could have put it in top corner and, you know, people may be asking different questions, but overall, I think really good save, deserved his luck. Ben Hinchcliffe makes a nice save. So I think a really solid performance from both goalkeepers and, you know, sets up a really nice second tie.
It does. Let's go to Wembley for Chesterfield 2, Notts County 2, 4-3.
This was a tasty
on pens. I mean, just what a game. Gripping.
Yeah, I mean, the National League all year, right? I mean, this league.
Just incredible.
Incredible.
It's going to be more even next season, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But yes, just an enthralling contest. There is so much to get into here. So I think we'll go fivefold, right? So the first point I want to raise, Chesterfield, no goalkeeper on the bench. An interesting choice for a playoff final.
Yeah, I mean, why they're doing it any game is beyond me. And then in a playoff final, it's just... I said I don't understand some managers the best of time. So anyway, I have no explanation for it. I know they get less subs, right? But still, it's a massive risk to take.
You would always have a goalkeeper on the bench,
yeah,
right?
Of course,
always. Yeah, Sam Slocum. So a bizarre moment early on where he started to dribble out from a goal kick. An indirect free kick was given. It was actually, as a result, then quite intelligent play when he kicked the ball away, because if he hadn't have done that, they could have obviously just dispossessed him and scored. Yeah. He didn't get booked for that, which was surprising because you thought he might have done, but then makes a very good save from the resultant free kick and then gives away a penalty. There's so much to dissect here because, one, what do you think it was that was going through his head? Was it just the random pressure of the situation of being in a playoff final at Wembley? Two, the very good save. And then three, was it a penalty?
Yeah, like you said, rightly, there's a lot to dissect. Yeah, I think you can't underestimate the occasion, right? You can't underestimate the occasion. I mean, it's not every day you play at Wembley. It's not every day you get to play in front of 40,000 people. Play a final, so much at stake, you know. So emotional control is really, really important. And we've all been there when that gets the better of you, right? So what would have happened in that incident? We know only he can answer to us, Sam, and... it's an unfortunate incident. Like you said, well reacted to kick the ball away. And then I think obviously makes amends with the save after. But I think what it did probably was just made him a bit nervous and then trying to make up for it. Because that's, for the penalty, the only thing I'd say, yes, it is a penalty, the rash challenge. Of course, you put yourself in that position. Never ideal. Give the referee a decision to make. But I think if that first incident doesn't happen, maybe he's a bit calmer, like we talked earlier, in control of things, his positioning, because I don't think he needs to go. I don't think he ever needs to go and make that challenge. That challenge, edge of the box, you know, you're really best off staying in your goal, protect your goal, slow the play down, delay, let them be out wide there, let give your defenders a chance to come back in and help and support and protect the goal. So, like I said, when it's the emotions, all this kind of stuff, the occasion kind of gets to you a little bit, then your decision-making is the biggest thing that's affected.
He has been very good this season as well. It's worth mentioning that.
Notts County, gee, I'm unbelievable. Yeah. How they didn't go directly, but then you go into playoffs and then it becomes, you know, like a bit of a lottery, you know, and for all they did in the regular season, that goes out the window in a way.
And he batted off two very good young goalkeepers that were brought in on loan as well. Brad Young came in from Leicester, and of course Archie Mayer, who we'll get onto in a moment. But first off, Ross Fitzsimmons, the Stockport goalkeeper, was questioned for both of the equaliser from Notts County.
Yeah, again, you know, I think, well, the one when he punches it away and it's a rebound, we talked about Alex Cairns just now, you know, it's the fine margins. Mm. It's, he makes a decision at the time, again, nothing wrong. Like I always say, punch, catch, fist, or whatever, as long as you deal with it and the best way you see fit in that moment. He did that. And then the rebound, yeah, gets shanked in.
Spawny goal of the week, I mean, think
it's
that.
Just, it's like, any other day, it goes wide or goes to your own player. They clear it, and we're not talking about this. You know, it's fine margins in goalkeeping and the game and football in general. And I think that sets off the next thing. And you know, John Bostock said in his post match again, he's the luckiest guy in the world. It's just like that little bit of luck there with the goalkeeping and the penalty, and he gets away with it, and he's a hero somehow. I mean, what world am I living in? it's unbelievable.
What would you? You saw after he's taken that penalty, you saw him go back and everybody's sort of high-fiving him because I guess at that moment they have to. What would you be thinking if you were his goalkeeper at that moment in time when he's tried to Panenka it?
Well, I think you're thinking of you're focused on the moment. Mm. Save, and then after the game you take your boot and hit him over the head. That's what you do. So that's as simple as that. But obviously to go back to that goal, he mentioned about doing a scouting that Rods for Simmons was like to leave a bit more space on his near post, so obviously did his homework, and I'm not sure if that's the case. I'm not gonna lie, I haven't seen too many Chesterfield games, but obviously he did that deliberately and maybe caught him on, you know, just a little bit off guard.
So Archie Mayer comes in late on in extra time. Sam Slocum apparently said to him, mate, this is your moment, go for it, this is a chance for you to be the hero, to shine. And that he did. So he saved a penalty in his first league appearance for the club back in March. And then he saves two in the shootout. He is the hero. I mean, just what a moment.
Did you notice anything about Archie Mayer?
I did notice something. And actually, this was flagged to us. I don't know whether this is going to be the same thing that you're going to mention. But apparently...
You know, I love a shameless plug.
Absolutely. So, at Liam Stones 23 has tweeted us saying he was rocking the AB1GK Biancos.
Very good eyes. Yeah, good spot. Boys. Is it Liam, did you say?
Liam Stones.
Liam, well done, Liam.
Yeah.
The amount of messages I had about that, because I actually wasn't watching the game at the time, and then everyone, even like Jordan Pickford, is like, oh, he's got the AB1. Oh, yeah, everyone's coming on. So I'm like, what's going on? What? Because I saw the team news. I know that Archie wasn't starting, so I was like, what's going on here? So I was super pleased when he came on, and then obviously those gloves helped do the trick. Now, the only thing that was missing is he didn't quite get the memo to keep the gloves on for the trophy presentation. So I was trying to, we were texting each other, someone get to Wembley and tell him. But of course, that was never going to happen. So, but no, full credit to Archie. I mean, what a moment to come in cold. Obviously, he would have done his homework. He said he admitted so much himself. And what a super moment for him to do, you know, to play hero.
Liam, I should say, I just looked, is the goalkeeper coach at Chester FC. So thank you for sending that in, Liam.
You're talking about Liam's, Stoneley, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, that's one of my academy coaches. I didn't put two and two together.
Oh, so there you go.
Small world.
Right.
Well done, Liam. Okay. Yeah. We don't pay you for nothing. There you go. Well done.
How is the brand going?
Brand's going good, you know. Never dull day at the Fun Factory. Always something going on. So we're happy, but, you know... one thing that's really taken off is our academies, you know, as you know, and there's a couple other academies. There's so much demand for goalkeeper coaching, and, you know, it's really nice to kind of grow that in the right way and supply that coaching and hopefully inspire more goalkeepers, which is the name of the game.
Inspiring the next generation, huh? One of those was Robbie McCrory, who is actually 25 years old now, the Rangers goalkeeper, which Michael Beale made a point of saying was the same age as Alan McGregor when he broke into the Rangers side. So there is something in this for Robbie McCrory, who's waited patiently for his chance, various loan spells whilst he's been at Rangers, but he's played four games now and made four clean sheets, hasn't conceded in those four games. Two of those games were Old Firms. One was a very important European tie at Alashkert last season. So yes, 25 now, given the nod, and played well in the Old Firm, I thought.
Quiz for you, where is Alashkert?
Alashkert. Oh,
there you go.
You can only
pop quiz me, yeah?
I will say Belgium.
Not quite. A little bit further east. A lot further east.
I mean...
Go on, I'll put you out of your misery. It's Armenia.
Armenia. Okay. Very good.
Go on.
I like that. You've given it back to me. I'd not heard of them before, to be fair.
Well, I hope they're in Armenia, because otherwise that would look really bad. But listen, go back to Robbie. Fantastic for him. Great opportunity. Funny how it aligns a little bit, like you said, with the Alan McGregor thing. Age. Obviously worked really hard to get this opportunity. And yeah, like I said, it's awesome when it comes to fruition and it all works out.
When you do have to wait at a club, and you do wait patiently, I'm guessing that you were at Portsmouth for a period, but you didn't have to wait.
I was on loan as well, right? So yeah. But never easy. You want to play. Like, it's always the thing, right? It's always the number one thing that you play is, are you playing? Are you not playing? It's like the million-dollar question all the time, right? So for him, yeah, not easy. But yeah, he handled the situation really, really well. The occasion, of course, Rangers, Celtic, Old Firm. Never an easy game to play, and I thought he handled himself really well.
It's a massive game now. What's the biggest game that you've ever played in?
The Milan Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've played in some, but that's, again, you know, I did the game for radio last week. I'll do the return leg again this week. Yeah, it's a special, special game. Yeah, that was fantastic. Of course, I mean, with Chelsea, we played some serious London derbies. Everton, Liverpool here is, of course, very, very intense, you know. So there's definitely some big derbies out there, but the Milan one, I think, takes the cake.
That is tonight. So it's in a matter of a few hours, actually. So I'm going to desperately try and get this podcast out before the game tonight. But I imagine it will only garner a few listens, I think, before the game goes. So that game, when most people are listening to this, will be over now, of course, as will the second leg of the Sunderland-Luton, I think it is tonight, right. Isn't it? So, yes, well, we'll comment on those next time out, but we've just got a few more fun bits and pieces to touch on before we go, Asmir. The first of those is one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper, keeper.
So Santiago Ramirez of Atletico Morelia. Wasn't familiar with him, nor with the team. So they play, and he plays, in Mexico's Liga de Expansión. Right? So Morelia were ahead on aggregate in the second leg of the semi-final Clausura clash with Chilea, and Alisson Revuelta, who was the Chilea goalkeeper, he came up for a corner. His header was saved by Ramirez, who then launched an absolute belter into an empty net at the other end. There was wild scenes. Everybody went bonkers. They got their place in the final. A decent strike from the lad.
Absolutely. You know, I'm refreshing my memory here once again. Yeah, I mean, jeez, Alou. That's incredible. If that's not wind assist, then I never know, because that's one hell of a hit.
He actually paused as well because he made the save and obviously thought, I'll just play this time out, as you do as a goalkeeper. You fall to the floor and you let the clock run down. And then he saw his chance at glory. Even though they were going to win the game, he thought, this is a chance at extra glory for me. And he took it.
Fair play to him.
Yeah.
Honestly, fair play. Yeah, that's one heck of a strike. And I thought Jordan couldn't hit a ball a country mile, but this takes some beating. Fair play. Yeah, incredible scenes.
Very impressive, as was Abdullah Al-Mayouf, who is the goalkeeper for Al-Hilal, who defeated Al-Wahda 7-6 in a penalty shootout to be crowned King Cup champions in Saudi Arabia. So he saved a penalty and then scored the winning penalty.
Again, fantastic. Yeah, fantastic. You know, I think obviously a big occasion for them. Yeah, held his nerve really well. Obviously hit him almost relatively straight down the middle, which these days a lot more goalkeepers are standing up. So obviously I'm not sure the scouting report what it said, but fair play to him. Always love it when a goalkeeper's in the limelight. So, yeah, incredible scenes, Jeff.
Have you stepped up before? Didn't you step up? Was it yes. Earlier this season or last season?
Well, I stepped up once in the League Cup. Wayne Hennessy and I, actually, Crystal Palace. We were born with Crystal Palace. But yeah, bloody thing went on forever, 10-10. I step up. I hit the target. He makes a good save, to be fair, Wayne. Give him credit. He steps up. He hits the ball out of the stadium. Absolutely cannonballed it.
Both missed.
Yeah, we both missed. I was like, oh, thank God for that. That could have been a nightmare situation. And then we score, and then I save the last one to get us through to the next round. And then did one in preseason with Everton, actually. It was a tournament. Saved a couple earlier on, but it went again, 10-10, bloody thing. And then I actually went first, scored, smashed it down the middle, and then I saved the other goalkeepers one to win it. So
you've been there, the hero in preseason.
It was the Florida Cup, and I still have the trophy and the Man of the Match award. There you go.
Okay. You know, you take them all, don't you?
Of course you do.
And lastly, just a nice little story from a gent named Chris Haig, who suffered a double leg break back in August, but has since won two promotions in the space of a month or so. So he is the goalkeeper at Ebbsfleet. He's been the backup all season. They were crowned champions on April the 7th. Naturally, he goes up as a result. They go into the National League. But he then joined Oxford City a week later on an emergency loan after the Nottingham Forest goalkeeper Adnan Kanyarich was recalled by the club. And Oxford City, of course, yesterday went up via the playoffs, led by the very impressive former Watford player Ross Jenkins. But yes, two promotion medals for one goalkeeper.
Good for him. Mm. There you go, like you said earlier, take him while you can. There you go.
How many do you have medal-wise?
Medal-wise, that's good. One Premier League, one FA Cup, and one Azerbaijan Premier League. There you go. Yeah, I've lost a few finals, actually, which we don't want to mention. But three major medals here.
I was going to ask you, actually, when we were talking about the National League playoff final being at Wembley, whether you'd played at Wembley before. Mm-hmm. So you played for...
Yeah, I played at Wembley a few times. Remember we had that Tottenham at that spell as well?
Of course they did.
Playing there. Yeah. So obviously that was a bit strange, the league games.
Yeah, ridiculous. So should never have happened.
We'll leave that for another day.
Well, it shouldn't. The pinnacle of one's
domestic career
should be playing at Wembley. Yeah. Shouldn't be playing league games at Wembley.
I agree. But the powers above obviously decided otherwise. But anyway, yeah, so I've played a few times. Like I said, not too many great memories. We won a couple semi-finals, of course, but you want to win the final, the big one, the Community Shield as well. We lost the final. So, yeah, there you go. That's football.
Okay, it's been great, Azmi, yet again. Glad we managed to get this one tied down. I'm not sitting in a hotel, so I'm waiting for you guys to arrive on a team bus, as was the case last time. I'd like to get your thoughts to finish on goalkeeping this season, really. I'm kind of springing this on you, but a mini review. If you were to analyse goalkeeping from top to bottom this season, how would you do that?
Well, listen, of course I'm biased, right? I'm a goalkeeper. I know how hard the position is. I thought the goalkeeping again was just gets better and better every year. I mean, you see some of the saves. General, I think just the way the guys play. I mean, I was watching, it's time recording, and we watched Alisson last night again. So complete, you know, that's what amazes me all the time, how complete goalkeepers are getting with the positioning, with the sweeping up, as you call it, taking crosses, you know, things that are flashed across your goal, all the decision-making. So I think, and you see some of the guys competing, you know, there's been a few changes this year because there is a lot more, I guess, equality in positions. There's not so many clear number ones and clear number twos and threes and all that kind of good stuff. So I think the level's been great. I actually picked up my PFA Team of the Year today, so I had to pick my goalkeeper. And
are we allowed to ask?
Of course.
Can it be revealed? Okay, you're allowed to give this stuff away.
Sure.
So do you have to pick an entire team?
Yeah. So you pick your Player of the Year, you pick your Young Player of the Year, and then you pick your top 11. It's a 1-4-3-3. So.
Okay.
Yeah. It was tough to choose. Really. I mean, I had a sort of a top three, maybe again. I hate doing this, right? Because it's, like I said, I appreciate every goalkeeper. I know how hard it is. Everyone does well. But I picked David Rea.
Interesting.
Yeah. I thought he's been magnificent, really. Not just this season, the year before. I think Brentford is such a well-run club. And, you know, they've done some really, really good things. So, giving him the platform to perform. And, good goalkeeping department. So, I thought I'd give it to him. Special mentions, of course. The top boys. Nick Pope. Aaron Ramsdale, everyone else, you know, so you know, it's, I couldn't pick Jordan. I would have picked Jordan otherwise. But well, you're not allowed to pick your own teammates. So that's that kind of killed that one. But yeah, I thought David Raya, but you know, difficult to choose.
What does he do next, David Raya?
Ooh. I don't know. I read the press just like you do. Maybe you know. Yeah, it was obviously there's a lot of press talk about Mark Flecken coming in. So interesting. I think they've got to make a decision one way or another.
Am I allowed to ask about your other picks? You're allowed to reveal those ones.
Well, no, my team, yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Who would be your goalkeeper of the year? Let's talk about it. We're end of season, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not doing behind the stick, like between the sticks sort of team of the year type of thing.
Well, I guess so, but then we don't really focus on the outfielders, do you? You don't really want to, yeah.
Or all the best goalkeepers of each league, maybe.
Good one. Okay. I'll task Richard with that one, shall I, for the next one?
Task Richard, maybe get a little trophy and hand it out to the guys.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
He'll love that one.
Yeah, he will. More cost. Put your hand in your pocket, Rich. My goalkeeper of the year in the Premier League would be... I don't just want to agree with you and say David Raya, because that would just be too easy. I would probably go with... David Raya. I think to be different, I would say Nick Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in terms of a signing of the season at 10 million, that's an absolute snip. Similar to when West Ham paid, did West Ham pay 7 million? Was it Swansea that paid 7 million for Fabianski or West Ham? I can't remember. One of the two.
They didn't pay much, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Which was a snip in terms of what he's provided for the club. I think that Nick Pope's been, you know, again, pretty flawless throughout. There was a sending off at Liverpool, but, you know, that was what it was. And I think when he went into Newcastle, there was a slight suspicion that he might not be able to play the way that Eddie Howe would want him to play. But I think it's worked. I think it's been a perfect fit.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't agree more. Again, difficult to choose, isn't it? So many good goalkeepers. So I'm going from there. So you want to know my team, right?
I want to know your team,
My team, David Raya, Kieran Trippier, right back, Saliba, centre-half, Martinez from Man United, centre-half, Estupinan, Brighton, midfield, De Bruyne, Gundogan, and Odegaard. Mm-hmm. And up front, Saka, Haaland, Rashford.
Good team.
Yeah,
it's a strong team.
Yeah, it was not easy, right? Because I was thinking in the midfield, oh, that was Guimaraes at Newcastle. Then I had a fantastic season. Obviously, up front, Salah, leaving him out is ridiculous. But I just thought I'd give a bit of mention to Marcus Rashford. I thought he's had a great season. So, yeah, that's my team.
Okay, Azmir, thoroughly enjoyed this. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, Keepers.
Away.